the worst but funniest bars I've ever heard.
If you ain't getting money, boy, you lame. On my, I woke up working like a Mexican.
Zaytoven, that's my nigga, I've been fucking her forever. Come on, officer, you seen my booze, batty and dick. This month, more than my BM, more than my links, more than my chick, harassment, alarms.
Let me tell you something, you might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me. And I got a grocery bag.
Cause what I'm about to doodle bop, doodle bop.
Me hoin yoy, me yoy.
Do you know how I feel to hear your mom fucking niggas that she barely know? You hear her moaning off them heavy strokes.
Me losing to a lame rapping is like you wipe your butthole and your nose with the same napkin. This shit's not happening.
It's fun for me just to grab a boob, plus my penis got an attitude.
Hey, hey.
I'm a gorilla in a fucking school. Finna pull up to the zoo, nigga. So, nigga, who the fuck is you? I don't know, nigga. No, nigga. Pull up on your blocks. We gon' blow, nigga. No, nigga. Run, nigga. Run for the pole, nigga. Hey, please, nigga. Gas what I smoke.
Welcome in to another episode of the Watching My Podcast. I am your host, Rick the Ruler, Slick the Jeweler. You know, watch a bitch, I choose her. You never know who I am. You never know. And today I have another beautiful episode for all my amazing fans. I would like to take this time to tell you guys to like, comment, and subscribe. And hop your ass in that goddamn comment box so you can motherfucking talk to me and I can motherfucking talk to you. Let's get back to the regular scheduled program, black people. If you have been a fan of the Watching My Podcast since its inception of time, please give yourself a round of applause and a pat on the goddamn back. Because, baby, I don't know how the fuck we did this shit. But, you know, we've been around this motherfucker for almost 5 years now. And I would just like to say, I don't know what the fuck y'all listen to me for, man. Bitch, my life fucked up, nigga. I should be fucked up sometimes, you know. So y'all just come in, pull up this motherfucking seat, and, you know, we'll get through this shit one day at a goddamn time. So I was on the phone with my girl earlier today, and what I recognized is when women really get into about their day, they really don't consist of shit. Like, respectfully, like, as a man, you go outside, you might deal with some racism, you might deal with the ego of another man, you might deal with the ego of a woman. Shit, you might deal with a bitch-ass nigga, which means you dealing with both of them. You feel me? Or you might have one of them goddamn strong-ass diggity dykes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never really know what the fuck you go outside to. So, as a man, you get thrown so many curveballs, and nobody gives a fuck about your day. I think that's the biggest piece about your day as a man. Like, you could get shot, and, you know, as long as somebody asks you if you was, you know, you had a great day, and if you ate, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't mind getting shot. Like, you'd be cool. And I don't know black shit. Like, I don't always want black people to be represented by, like, bullet wounds and shit like that. But it's just a joke. But it's a real serious thing because niggas, we don't get asked if we're doing okay. And I know, like, that shit might be, like, a running joke. But, you know, as we progress through life, we have to kind of bring attention to certain things. So we gonna highlight this goddamn piece here. Women's Day is really just like, you know, I got up, I got some coffee. Could you believe what Jessica said while I was getting some coffee? Like, just can't fucking say a goddamn thing. But you gotta, as a man, you gotta be invested in that shit. So you, yeah, baby, what Jessica said, you dig? Now, you invested. Once you ask the first question of, like, hey, yo, like, what did she do? Like, what did Jessica do? And then, like, don't try and, like, give your girl proper guidance on how to handle shit at work neither. That shit don't work. You gotta listen to the shit that she say. And then you gotta allow her to figure out the shit she's saying ain't right. Like, you can't expedite her bullshit. You feel me? See, and that's where I was fucking up. I was giving my girl, like, real motherfucking, like, I was finna have my girl run in the motherfucking hospital. You did? Like, I'm talking about real deal finna have her be the goddamn Chef Bardia of that shit. But that's not what she wanted. What she wanted is to be caught the fuck up with Jessica. Not directly, but indirectly. And here's the play. Y'all take y'all sip and hit y'all smoke too. I'm a little under the weather, so if y'all hear me snuffling or if y'all hear me coughing shit, just know I'm over this bitch fighting with some mucinex, you dig? So when you listen to your girl's day, listen to that shit with a grain of salt. Cause she don't want you to fix her shit, but she don't want you to let, she don't want you to know that her day ain't worth a damn neither. So you gotta be invested as well, you know? So you ask a couple questions. I typically lead with this example. I don't listen to the first 8 sentences, right? Like, when she getting in her bag, I shut the fuck up, nigga. I say, mm-hmm. I throw a couple exciting ad-libs in there. Oh, you know what I'm saying? And keep the motherfucker on the edge of her seat. Now, I hope she don't listen to this shit. But if you do, goddammit, baby, I love you. But you know what I'm saying? So you goddamn got to listen to, like, the first sentence to kind of peep where the convo going. And that's going to gauge you as a man to let you know if you got smoked with something going on at the job or if this, you know, a chimney you could let rock. So, first sentence, babe, what happened? Let me tell you about what happened at work. So, you sit up, or you know what I'm saying, you sit your motherfucking goddamn cold one down and you look your lady in her eyes and you engage for that 8 seconds where she announces there's a situation. After she's done with that first, the first 3 sentences is going to put you where you need to be at. After the second to third to fourth and so on sentence, she has nothing else to say. Like, I want you to understand, even when you first started talking to your girl, right? Think about it. Like, dial that shit back. Even when you first started talking to your girl, if you asked her for a long, you know, paragraph or a long breakdown of anything, nigga, you could ask her about her life, nigga, something that she lived all day, every fucking second. She's the main character in her story, my nigga. She might could sum that shit up in 3 sentences, cuz. Well, you know, I was loved and spoiled, and I eat a lot. And then that be the fucking end. Like, they don't even play no motherfucking sports. The bitches they used to be cool with, they ain't cool with them bitches no more, so, like, they don't even do the friend story no more. Like, it's crazy. So, you know, I ain't sitting here saying that, like, women's lives don't mean shit. They absolutely motherfucking do. They mean a whole great big ton. They just, you know, unless you get you like one of them little flowery women's, you know what I'm saying? If you get you a flowery or a poetry or something like that, then you be all right, you dig? But yeah, that's just my recap of how things should play out in a simple conversation to keep everybody on their motherfucking P's and Q's and shit, you dig? Because as a man, you want to be there emotionally for your girl. And as a woman, you want to be able to feel comfortable and confident relaying shit to your man. And that you need him to be Superman in every situation. You just might want that nigga to be the telephone man sometimes. See, we forget in a relationship, you wear many different hats. And we forget because we'll get locked into one role. It's like, all right, cool. I'm the protector. I'm the supporter. And I'm the intimator. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm the nigga that's going to be fucking my girl, you dig? But you forget that, like, she got other requirements too. And just like you do as well. So you might need your girl to be your therapist, your masseuse. Definitely, ladies, give your mans a massage. If your mans work outside, and even if he got a desk job, please rub that nigga down. A back massage, a foot massage, rubbing that nigga body will definitely go a long way. I am an adamant massage connoisseur. But other than that, y'all, I hope y'all had a great weekend. We gonna kick things off. This is a podcast for the early half of the week. We got a great episode coming on towards the end of the week. Friday will be here sooner than you know it, and I just hope that I can provide you guys with some great content.
Oh, it's such a beautiful day, me waking up from a nap. Oh, it's such a beautiful day, me waking up from a nap. I just realized BBL Trizzy called his mommy on me. He shared their text messages between each other. Cupcake Drake, tell your mama you stayed out past your curfew, white boy. You wanted to hang at the park with this, smoke with the, while we washed our old school Chevys. White boy, you got a Chevy, white boy? I doubt it. But anyway, big nose. Boy, you had 25% body fat with a carved out 6-piece. Stop. We know what time it is. That shit costs 40 bands. Stop. But tell your mama, Well, in Miami, we say old girl. Tell your old girl she a beautiful lady. I told you that before, and I meant that. But you tell your mama, white boy, you stayed out at the bar too late. And you can't call her when you get in this shit. This shit too deep to call your mama, white boy.
The exhaust from my pen and pen.
Maybach music.
Fish tanks and marble floors living big and bad. Niggas laugh until they hit with my official jab. Crack smoke is the exhaust from my pen and pad. Anna, nigga. You said the police, nigga, hating on my dog project. That one the same white boy that I seen, nigga, when we were making them early records, nigga. When you were happy to be around, nigga, seeing niggas holding them sticks. Yeah. You old motherfucking stunner your life, nigga. Give Weezy some more money, nigga. Get Rap-A-Lot some more money, nigga. White boy, yeah, biggest. It's Rosé, nigga. We can do it how you wanna do it, where you wanna do it, anytime you wanna do it. I'm you had that surgery, that six pack gone. That's why you wearing that funny shit at your show. You can't hide it, nigga. White boy.
That is a little bit of the Rick Ross record he put out. I would give it a. It was okay. I don't really know if I needed a Ross diss track. I understand that Drizzy had put something out there first. He shot at Ross first. Well, no, I ain't gonna necessarily say he shot at Ross first. They had some shit going behind the scenes before everything kind of came out public to what it is now. And I think when Drake put his record out, he took some shots. Like he pretty much fired back at everybody that clicked up and sent shots and unfollowed and did this and did that and said this and said that. He basically put out a track dissing all them niggas and, man, now we got a shit show on our hands. So really, I think everything kind of stems from just Drake really being, I think everybody kind of mad at this nigga for fucking a bitch. And I feel one or two ways about it. And I know, like, as guys, we egotistical. So it's like everything is subjective until it's you. You know what I'm saying? Until it's your bitch getting hit or it's your situation or the girl that you really, really like getting hit. I understand all that, right? So we're going to keep it player. But then we also going to keep it, like, real, too, because we got to be honest, right? So if Drake is out here fucking everybody niggas girl, everybody girl, right? That's crazy. Because y'all supposed to be popping too. So y'all got to do better at picking the women y'all really fucking around with. Because if she only fucking with you because you a star or a celebrity, what makes you think, like, it's a lot of niggas with money, it's a lot of niggas with cars, it's a lot of niggas with houses, a lot of niggas with assets. And it's a lot of niggas without them too. So, you know, you're not in the league by yourself. And unfortunately, guys will think that, you know, you could have highlights or you could have moments or things that make you unique. But it's other things that make other niggas unique as well. And your shorty, if she's a bird, she's going to flock to that uniqueness, you dig? They say that them bitches fly south for the summer. So you got to understand, if she knows how to get fucking south, my nigga, just know you not always the nigga in the south that know what the fuck going on. You dig? Like, you not always going to be that nigga in the sense of when you're dealing with these caliber of guys, because every nigga's a superstar. You're looking at every nigga at All-Star Weekend that's a sniper. You feel me? You got the fucking Steph Curry's out there. You got the fucking LeBron's. You got all these niggas out here. And I ain't saying, like, those two individuals. I'm just saying, like, the caliber of individual, of celebrity. You have a lot of people that, you know what I'm saying, they girls are going to fall victim to that shit. And these niggas all been rich for at least 20 years. French been rich for a long time. Drake been rich a long time. Ross been rich a long time. So when I feel like these niggas, the Future been rich a long time, I ain't going to say, I don't know, Metro Pockets of when he started to get popping, but he's a millionaire, successful producer now. So you got to understand, we're talking about the cream of the crop of the music industry. We're not talking about these little local jokers or, you know what I'm saying, somebody that you might see every once in a blue moon. Like, no, every time it's a show, a festival, award show, an accolade, these is the niggas' names that you're going to continuously hear throughout the next couple years. So for all these niggas to be beefing over bitches is wild. Because I understand you might like Shorty, but Shorty like other niggas, and it's not like I ain't heard no sexual cases coming out. I ain't hear no rape. I ain't hear none of that. So it's like, we got to keep it a stat. Niggas, girls is getting fucked. And that's a part of life. You know, I can't even sit here and say I know that a nigga fucked my bitch, but I would be naive to believe that a nigga ain't never popped my bitch. I don't know if, you know, niggas do the due diligence on how to find out if they girls got popped. But a nigga like me, I don't read it a motherfucking week. You did. If a bitch ever played with me, she did that shit to the best of her abilities, because I don't know. I still don't know. Also, don't go doubling back. And the niggas that I think, you know what I'm saying? I think if there was a group of niggas that was the niggas that sniped girls out, you kind of got to be, like, official with it, because niggas will slide. Like, look at what the fuck going on. Like, you got the pop star slash the Michael Jackson of this shit, and everybody typically, not everybody typically, but for the most part, everybody shooting at this nigga due to his doggish ways, if you want to look at it that way. So, how I'm looking at it is, they're not wrong, but they're not right neither. If it's only female-based. If it's, like, other shit going on behind the scenes, then all right, for sure. Like, I have yet to hear anybody really break that shit down to see what the real smoke is. But all I know is they claim that nigga Drake done popped Metro bitch. He done popped Future bitch. He done popped a couple other nigga bitches. He had that goddamn Rick Ross bitch at the show. But Ross said it ain't because of that. It's the cease and desist with French Montana. So, you know, there's other little things kind of all playing out and spiraling. The Weeknd got his shit going on, but Drake was fucking or trying to fuck his bitch, or after she broke up with the nigga, he was spotted with her next, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like a lot of, you know, group dick shit, you know? It's mad beautiful women out here in the world, and I don't know why these niggas just get stuck on fucking the same 30 bitches. But I understand that too, because niggas is groupies for groupies, you know? And once you kind of recognize that life is really high school 2.0, you actually just recognize that life is high school 2.0. Like, you still are going to have the same niggas that would have done this in high school now doing it as adults with bigger access to things. So instead of being the coolest nigga in the courtyard, you the coolest nigga on Billboard. You the coolest nigga in the A. Or you the coolest nigga in Miami. You feel me? So you got all these egos, all these whatever the cases may be. And there's only so much to fucking bicker about in life. Like, you ever really look at life, niggas don't really fight about shit. Like, ever in fucking life, niggas don't fight about shit. They fight about the same fucking three things, nigga. Pussy, land, and motherfucking longevity. Are you gonna kill me or am I gonna have to kill you? Those are the three things that niggas go through. And is we even try and progress through life, all this technology and all this other bullshit, we're still gonna fight over the same fucking things, because those are the essentials of life. It's not the technology, it's not the internet, it ain't the meaningless things of life. Like, of course people have died over clothing, of course people have died over, you know, materialistic things or things that does not accentuate life or is a necessity for life. But what have we consistently fought about in the history of mankind? Fucking women. And here we go again. We got the fucking giants of the giants. And then you throw Kendrick in the mix. I think Kendrick been shooting at Drake for a long time. I think he's been waiting for this. And I think when Future made the call, I think when either Future or Metro made the call or sent that beat over, but like that, with the way that the album was being constructed, Kendrick looked at it as an opportunity. I feel like the last couple joints that Kendrick pulled out, that nigga was sniping at Drake. Not on the big Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I didn't really listen to that album. I ain't even gonna flex. Like, I listened to it once and I ain't never run back to it. So when I say I ain't listen to it, that's what I mean. Like, I didn't do a continuous listen. But on Damn, he was talking his shit. And a couple of songs with him and Baby Keem, he was talking his shit. And this wasn't all that long ago. This was a few years ago. I still listen to a couple of those jams that them niggas made. So I think it's been a long time coming. I think everybody really been, you know, feeling however they've been feeling about Drake. And now niggas is really just like, okay, well, shit, if Future is a big dog, feel confident, comfortable stepping to him, and we all got beef with this nigga, this is our opportunity to at least let this nigga know that everything you did was because we allowed it. You know, not because, you know what I'm saying, we whatever. I don't want to speak for them niggas, but it just sound as though, like, when Ross talked, if everybody else sharing that same sentiment, it sound like we allowed you to be Michael Jordan, nigga. Like, we boosted you. We helped you also. Like, it wasn't just that you was a trailblazer and you just lit everybody ass up. Like, nah, nigga, we recognize that you was a really, really, really big, you know, music head, and we wanted to see how far you could take that shit. So instead of hating, we helped give you as much power as you know, needed to see what you could do with it type shit. And I think there's some validation in that too. Drake definitely had to go to Houston. He definitely had to go to Miami. He linked up with the right crew. If Drake went with any other record label that couldn't have provided him the sauce and flavoring that nigga got, I don't know if he gets as many opportunities to be the artist that he is. And I'm not saying that he wouldn't have been great. It's unfathomable to even go down that rabbit hole. But to also say that, you know, this nigga didn't have the hands of God around him. Like, the nigga had Wayne. The nigga had Jay Prince and all the goddamn Rap-A-Lot community and all that shit going on. And he was able to move around, able to kind of get, you know. I would say that nigga definitely went through coaching. You feel me? Like, he had the opportunity to get coached into being a legend. Like, he wasn't an overnight success in the sense of just, like, putting a fucking song out on YouTube in the early days and it just blowing up. Like, of course, he had his buzz. And I'm not sitting here trying to get this nigga whole discography and background of how he became Drake. But he had hands around him, is what I'm going to say. And for that, he was able to still craft his own lane and become a hip-hop legend and a musical legend as an artist. Can't nobody take that from him. So, you know, I salute Drake, and I acknowledge that nigga is a GOAT. But this is going to be an interesting 2024. I can't wait to hear what Kendrick say back. I need, like, an actual diss track. As of right now, it's being reported that Kendrick has an AI track out or whatever the fuck. We'll see if that's true or false or not. But as of right now, this is your host, Rick. I am signing off for tonight's podcast. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I'm slicing and dicing this bitch immediately, and it's going out on all streaming platforms. So like, comment, subscribe, share with a friend of a friend of a friend, and y'all be great. Check out some music. Get in that goddamn comment box. And we're going to see what we could do next time, y'all. Till next time, y'all be safe. One.